Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. As the NFL offseason continues, we get closer and closer to the draft. We get closer and closer to the combine as it's going to get started today over in Indianapolis. So that is the next stage of what's going on. We'll talk a lot of draft as time progresses as we get closer. In fact, we're going to start breaking things down on the NFL draft position by position. So stay tuned for that. Coming up, probably get started with that in a couple of weeks here in the Red Zone. Also want to remind you about the 101 Awards coming up. We're going to talk a lot about that next week with some of the award winners. But the 101 Awards, you can get your tickets if you want to go for a great night of the NFL. Peyton Manning and Drew Brees will be there. Sean Payton and Marvin Lewis, the AFC and NFC Coach of the Years, or I guess NFC and AFC Coach of the Year. And then the Defensive Players of the Year, Charles Woodson and Darrell Revis. Plus all the Chiefs Awards winners, Jamal Charles, Ryan Succop, all going to be in attendance. It's a great night. It goes for a great cause. It the benefits help the Chiefs Children's Fund. And you can get your tickets by calling 913-681-6990. That's 913-681-6990, extension 111. Get your tickets for March 6th, Saturday, March 6th. So a great event. The NFL 101 Awards put on by the Kansas City Chiefs. They do a fantastic job as it will be the 40th anniversary of the event. So make plans to join everybody down at what is a great night for the 101 Awards. Tickets are $165, but they are well worth it, and there is only a limited number. So go ahead and get your tickets while you can. We're going to talk a lot with Mitch Holthus, kind of a state of the organization address from the voice, the front man for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. That's coming up here in a little bit. First, let's take a look around the NFL as a lot of happenings. What you're beginning to see now as players start to move, or I guess be released, is the ramifications of the financial side of the game. And let's start with some of the moves and how it may or may not affect the Kansas City Chiefs. One, two running backs put on the market, LaDainian Tomlinson and Brian Westbrook, two of the most, certainly the greatest running back in the history of the San Diego Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson, and one of, if not the greatest running back in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles, Brian Westbrook, released. Keep this in mind. There's only so much tread on the tire for running backs in the NFL. Jamal Charles, let's back up to our conversation a couple of weeks ago with Todd Haley, and we'll talk about this with Mitch Holthus coming up here in a little bit. But Jamal Charles, there's the more you pound on him, the more touches he gets right now, the shorter that career is going to be. One of the priorities for the offseason is going to be to partner up Jamal Charles with another running back. Doesn't necessarily have to be a guy that is co-running backs with him, that gets as many touches, but just a guy that can give him a breather so he can come out of the game, get a breather, catch his breath, be full strength, put another back on the field that is still a threat to do things with the ball in his hands. That is going to be a big priority for the Chiefs this offseason. Todd Haley talked about that a couple of weeks ago here in the Red Zone. And, of course, if you didn't hear that conversation with the head coach, you can find it here at the website, kcchiefs.com, as you can find all the old Red Zones. Great stuff with Todd Haley. If you didn't hear it, you should go back and listen to it when we get done with today's Red Zone. But Westbrook and LaDainian Tomlinson, two guys, if you're a fantasy football geek, they're at the tops of your draft charts, now on the open market. And who knows, maybe one of those guys would be a nice fit economically, if the dollars are right, for the Kansas City Chiefs to be partnered up with a Jamal Charles. I think probably they'll be looking for different situations, but who knows, may be a good fit. Whether it's free agency or the draft, the Chiefs are going to have to find somebody. The more, you know, those guys took tremendous poundings. LaDainian Tomlinson's not that old, but 12,000 yards worth of mileage on the legs, 3.3 yards per carry, the lowest numbers of his career, under 800 yards rushing for the season. The Chargers looking to go a new direction, and keep that in mind. That now means both of those teams are looking for running back depth as well, and the Chiefs will have to compete In free agency and in the draft with teams like the Eagles and Chargers, who are now looking for a running back as well. 3-4 defense, the order of business for the Kansas City Chiefs. Some notes from around the NFL when it comes to defensive players. One, Vince Wilfork, a guy that was scheduled to be a free agent, anchors the nose when the Pats are in their 3-4 look. One of the best nose tackles in football, massive individual, will not be on the open market. So if you were sitting back, as I know I've seen some of the emails, people asking Vince Wilfork, could he be a good fit for the Kansas City Chiefs? Could have been, but not going to be. Franchised by the New England Patriots. Now, he still can be acquired by other teams. A contract can be put to him if the Pats choose not to match it. They would get two first-round picks from whatever team signed Vince Wilfork. So that price probably too steep for anybody to give to a player, you know, any player, really, quite frankly, short of maybe some of the franchise quarterbacks. But two first-round picks the Chiefs would have to give up to get Vince Wilfork. Does not look like that's going to happen. It does look like Julius Peppers will be out there. The Carolina Panthers confirming that they will not franchise Julius Peppers. Could he be a fit in Kansas City? He could, but we've talked about this at length. Tall, lengthy, 6'7 linebacker. Really hasn't been done before. He's probably best suited to be a 4-3 defensive end. A little bit undersized to be a 3-4 defensive end. You'd look at him as an outside linebacker, and it'd be a lot of money to give to a guy that you're asking to make a position switch to. We'll see how much money he gets. And with all these guys, remember, the collective bargain agreement is going to be a big impact on how much money is available for these players. There's only so many dollars out there. It's an unknown economic time for players right now. Owners don't know what the revenue structure is going to be in the NFL. So whether it's the Chiefs or anybody else, I think there'll be a lot less money spent on free agency. Throw in the fact that a lot of people are talking about there being some kind of work stoppage, be it a lockout or a strike next year. That means no revenue coming into these football teams. I don't know that everybody's going to be willing to jump out there and spend tens of millions of dollars in the free agent market. It's probably going to be, not just because there are 200 less free agents this year than there would have been because of the rules with the uncapped year, but probably going to be quieter because teams are wondering, how much money do we need to sock away to make sure we're not laying off employees? I don't know that we're going to give a $35, $40 million signing bonus to a player in free agency. So it might be a lot quieter on the free agent front than a lot of people think. Antrell Roll, safety for the Arizona Cardinals. Rumors out there that he could be released if the Chiefs were in the market for a safety. A young man who was drafted highly as a corner made the position switch to a safety, but could add some depth to the free agent market at the safety position. And Antonio Cromartie, some talk that he will be dealt by the San Diego Chargers. I would not count on him coming to Kansas City. Teams within the division almost never, if ever, make a trade with each other. But could be good news for the Chiefs if Antonio Cromartie's sent out of the division. And Matt Cassel, when he drops back, doesn't have to look at him. One of the better corners. They're talking about dealing Antonio Cromartie away from the San Diego Chargers. And some talk, if you want to stay on that nose tackle, Vince Wilfork not going to be available, but Sean Rogers could be available via the trade. A lot of people say his time in Cleveland may be over. Who knows? Romeo Crennel will have the best evaluation on him. He was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns when they made the move to acquire Sean Rogers. So simply walk down the hall if you're Todd Haley or Scott Pioli and head into Romeo Crennel's office, and you probably get the best evaluation and breakdown of a Sean Rogers. But he certainly fits the type of that big, massive 330, 340, 350-pound nose tackle. If you want a guy like that, he could be had, is the word on the street. Whether that's reality or not, we don't know, but that is the word on the street. The word on the street now is that we're going to talk with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. He joins us next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS. Let's get back into the red zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back here in the red zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. It is time now to talk to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holthus joins us here in the red zone. Mitch, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Soren, and you love the red zone. You are the red zone. You feel the red zone, you believe the red zone, you need the red zone.
Yeah, and you know what? You're dressed like you're ready for the red zone, you know? Very dapper, you know, red tie. You're all set, man. We got to get the red zone on video.
We should.
So that
or
people
not.
Can see how well you dress.
Because most of the times we do this, I'm not dressed well. But I actually spoke to a management group today at Hy-Vee,
okay,
one of our great corporate sponsors with the Chiefs. And so met with the regional managers of the of those stores, so it was a great time. That's why I'm all dressed up.
Yeah, people hear you. Of course, Mitch, radio voice of the Chiefs. I hear you all the time. They don't realize that the gig is more than just 20 Sundays. And I'm not just talking about the playoff years.
Yeah,
it's a little more between the TV shows, the speaking engagements, the appearances. You are pretty much the front man for the organization, aren't you?
Yeah, and you have
is that
to,
how you view yourself?
Oh,
Chiefs front man,
the conduit, if you will.
I thought you'd say con man, and I was like, wow,
no,
that's bold.
That's somebody else, I think. But no, I mean, you've got to be a conduit. You're out in front of the folks, and I do speak publicly. I do a lot of basketball, as you know, Big 12 and mm-hmm. and Missouri Valley, and a lot of those are in the Chiefs Kingdom footprint, if you will. So yeah, I'm out in front. You know, sometimes about as much as anybody in the organization when you're out in front of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that we have got guys, you know, players and front office folks that make personal appearances, but by all the things that I do, you mentioned some of them, I'm out there in front of them, as you are a lot, when you're getting the full. For example, the other day I was doing the Kansas-Colorado game, and I was done with the Kansas shoot-around, and there were some fans there, and they go, Castle's going to Denver. They're going to trade Matt Castle to Denver and then take Jimmy Clausen in the draft. I'm going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
Slow down here. And so, but that happens all the time. But you, it's something you take on when you're the voice of a team. You're kind of the ambassador to several countries, and that's okay.
Yeah, and that's fine. And then let's just say that's got fantasy football written all over that rumor, in case anybody's running with that. Because that's the kind of thing that will pop up here in the chat board. I heard.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL season never stops. And it's why we're on the red zone, you know, 52 weeks a year, because it never stops. Oh, that right there, just for anyone, that's your fantasy football cooked up in a garage at my computer trade. Well, it makes sense because Matt Castle, he played for Josh McDaniels. And, you know, head coach Jimmy Clausen played
at Notre Dame for Charlie Weiss. So therefore, it works. It'll work. That's it. And Brandon Marshall's coming to the Chiefs because they could use a wideout.
LaDainian Tomlinson's going to be a Chief now.
Yeah, exactly. It all works like that. We are talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. So we don't think that's going to happen. Watch it happen next week.
Sure.
I don't think
I've learned to live
happen.
With that, too.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. But let's talk about what should happen, what needs to happen, the offseason for this team. We talked to Todd Haley a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about his statement at his end-of-the-year press conference that they laid a foundation, and he reiterated that fact, that he thought that the foundation was laid. And I think that foundation partly is figuring out what doesn't fit, and figuring out the guys who do fit. And they think they've got a pretty good start on the guys that do fit. Now, what do they need to put in around those players that they have identified as foundation pieces? There are still a lot of needs. That's a good thing from the draft because you can go in a lot of different directions and in free agency. If there's great players at certain spots, well, you probably could use one of them at that spot. The bad news is it means you've got a long way to go.
I would say part of the foundation's there. I think it still has a ways to go even in laying the foundation. I don't think we're putting up sheetrock yet.
Right.
We're still laying there. Maybe the hole's been dug and they've poured the concrete, but there's still the concrete's waiting to dry. Part of this, though, there is a positive feeling, and I know you and I talked about it at the end of the season, but there's been a lot of positive inertia. The feeling on that plane ride coming home from Denver, what they've been able to do with their coaching staff. I mean, this coaching staff is much more accomplished, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, I know, but way more than the staff that was here last year to coach in 2009.
So let's talk about it now. Let's stay with that. Because
that leads to free agency.
It does. It leads to where you go because of the guys. And so instead of doing it later, let's talk about Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. There are other changes in the staff as well. But the big ones are that there is now an offensive coordinator, which there wasn't last year throughout the regular season. And there's a change at the defensive coordinator. And there are guys that collectively have 6 rings between them. And I also want to point out, had more success at their relative stops that they had beyond. Romeo Crennel did better at Cleveland than people want to give credit for.
No question.
He did not have a franchise quarterback to work with.
And he was very close to breaking through. They were getting closer to having breakthrough, and then they got shoved back and never recovered.
They were a competitive team last year or 2 years ago. And a lot of the foundation of what was, a 4 or 5-game winning streak last year were his players. So that's part of the equation, and there was much more success. It's just what they won at Notre Dame is 10, 11 wins or bust. And so these guys, even away from New England, had more success than they're given credit for. I want to point that out. But how does that change the landscape of where this team's going?
I'm going to throw another one in there because I think Emmett Thomas is a third person to mention.
Yes.
Saran, he was an assistant head coach. He was an interim head coach. He's widely respected around the league. He brings back and ties this group, if you will, into the past of this team. Kind of like a Frank Martin at Kansas State. He's done a great job because he's tied in what Kansas State had and now brought it into the present. And Emmett Thomas can do that. If he's part of a lot of success here, now he weaves what's being done now into when the Chiefs were good. But yet he's also a guy that's a very good tactician. He's a good guy from a standpoint of skill, can work with the younger defensive backs. Now, here's where I was going with that, because I think those three guys in specific can help you in free agency, because think about this. They now provide a pipeline to guys that they've had. Those three are very well respected in college football, or pro football and college football. All of a sudden, Charlie Weiss has had 5 years of game planning against these guys, even his own guys at Notre Dame. He's played the SCs and the Stanford's and on whoever they played on their schedule, but he's game planned against those guys. So he just brings an understanding and a tie in to who could be players or who he has respect or knowledge with. Same thing with Romeo Crennel. Not only the guys he had in Cleveland, which could be free agent opportunities, but guys that he's also played against. You bring in that. And then you bring in the NFC perspective with what Emmett's been able to do at Atlanta, same thing. And the fact that they're so well-respected is now a guy may be interested in coming to Kansas City who was not interested previously because I'll go where Charlie's at, or I'll go where Romeo's at, or I'll go where Emmett's at. And so it's almost like a college coach in recruiting where you've added 3 recruiters to your staff and 3 new recruiting areas. That's the way I see it. So I think the addition of the coaching staff, particularly with those 3 high-impact guys, affects every aspect of the franchise, but it also affects free agency.
Yeah, it does, and we'll see where the Chiefs go in free agency, which goes hand in hand with the draft. But I think the other thing that it does, and you talked about each of the individuals, but it also frees up Todd Haley.
No question.
You know, I thought his first year as a coordinator, you know, when you consider, and he really, I think, more than he said. I mean, he talked about how they set things backwards when they made the decision that I'm going to take over the offense as well and going to part ways with Chan Gailey. But he talked about, you know, basically starting, it was ground zero. I mean, which you just don't do in the NFL, but he felt it was best long term, so he makes the move. And I don't think there's any doubt. Now, a lot of this coincided with the emergence of Jamaal Charles, right. But there's no doubt this offense got a lot better towards the end. Now bring the thoughts of Charlie Weiss in there. The ability of Todd Haley, I think his game management gets better because now there's a guy, instead of just worrying about what his next play call is, he can be worrying about, okay, clock, timeouts, defense, can I stop, do we go? I think their game management, because they weren't a disaster game management-wise, but there were some mistakes and a few seconds burned here and there when it came to timeout decisions. They get even sharper there, and as he said, so many games in this league come down to the very end, that game management is an important facet of winning football games.
And I think as much of that, it's also being a CEO of a multimillion-dollar corporation, basically, because a football coach is that. Now, we all know that Scott Pioli's a general manager. Don't misunderstand me here. But under Todd Haley's direct command are almost 100, or over 100 people when you consider the players, the coaches, and then the ancillary staff.
Right,
the support
staff.
Got to be a CEO, basically under a CEO, because Scott Pioli does fit that role. You were going back to the increases and how much better the offense was. I was looking at it last night. 30% more points in the last eight games, 10% increase in third down conversions, 50% increase in rushing, 30 sacks allowed in the first 10 games, 8 in the final 6. Now, those are profound steps forward. Mm-hmm. Which is a positive sign, and I think I'm with you. That some of that was just the metamorphosis of switching the offense, and really you're getting into your offense and rhythm basically midway through the season. Jamaal Charles' emergence, and then you had this meat grinder schedule in the first part of the schedule, too. All that was kind of a perfect storm for badness, if you will, and then things started to come around to help it improve. But I think as much as anything, having Charlie Aromeo, Emmett come in, because all three have been head coaches, basically, or assistant head coaches, and Emmett was an interim head coach for a short while, is it allows Todd Haley to now develop his role as a CEO. And part of that is game management. Mm-hmm. Part of that is also managing relationships, motivating, inspiring within his realm and sphere of influence. Because honestly, last year it was like he was not only the CEO, he was the CFO, he was the human resources right. manager, he was the sales manager. It wasn't practical.
And he cleaned up at night.
Yeah. And then he's going to be back at 5 in the morning to open the shop. I mean, right. it just doesn't work. It really doesn't. And it wasn't going to work for very long if it was going to work. So I think it's huge for Todd Haley and his career and for this franchise to have these guys come on board. And, you know, people look at Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick, and those are the two models that this group has as mentors. Those guys had great staffs.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about the 98 Jets. I mean, these guys were on the 98 Jets staff. Then you throw in the fact that, you know, you had Mike Swetman and Eric Mangini. I mean, there were just guys up and down the pike. And Bill's had pretty good staffs wherever he's gone. So I think it's huge for Todd Haley to have these guys to now allow Todd to be Todd.
That is Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, talking about staffs, just think about you know, some of the Bill Parcells staffs. When you got Bill Parcells as the head coach, Bill Belichick as the coordinator, and then Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss on the staffs with the New York Giants. It's not a coincidence. Part of the coaching process is getting the right people around you, surrounding yourself with tremendous coaches, and the Chiefs obviously did that in this offseason, upgrading their coaching staff with Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Mitch about the player procurement. Where does this organization go from here as far as putting talent on the field? You got to have the horses if you're going to go out and win the race. And we'll talk about where this team is strong, where they need help, what's the direction they go on free agency in the draft. That's coming up next with Mitch Holtis here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead, opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we're talking with Mitch Holthus. He is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You hear him on 101 The Fox here in Kansas City and throughout the Chiefs Kingdom. Does a great job with everything else. His Chiefs Kingdom show, great stuff from Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, let's talk about where this football team goes from here player-wise this offseason. What's the plan? What's the attack? And I think if you look at it, you know, we'll start with the quarterback. I think that's where every football team should start. We know that move was made last year. They bring in Matt Cassel. I think a pretty good season, and we've touched on it a lot. 16 touchdowns and 16 interceptions for a guy with really one season of starting under his belt, coupled with a team that's clearly in a rebuild mode and an offensive line, as we touched on. 30 sacks in the first half, only 8 in the second half. It got better. I guess we'll start with the O-line, because I think the quarterback, we know where we're at there, and I think the Chiefs are in pretty good shape. We'll see how far up the ladder Matt Cassel is going to go with his game, and it's a big year two for him to take a big step forward, and we'll see how far, you know, how big a step he does take. That's going to determine how they build the rest of the team around him. But the offensive line, like a lot of people nationally and even in Kansas City and around the Chiefs Kingdom, look at the offensive line and go, boy, that's a problem. Not that you can't always get better, and not that they shouldn't invest in that offensive line. I'm a big believer in winning at the line of scrimmage. I think Scott Pioli is as well. But you hit on it. 30 sacks down to 8. The offense, once Jamal Charles stepped in there, really started to run the ball. This offensive line is not quite the eyesore that I think a lot of people thought it was, or maybe even still think it is.
No, and I think that's where they probably start. If they don't start, it's very high on the priority list. You know, you always see, you hear a lot of Okung being the guy at left tackle. I don't think the offensive line, I think what we're going to agree with here is the offensive line isn't that far away of being a very productive offensive line. Maybe not the 0-3 offensive line of the Chiefs, but...
But being a team that you can win playoff games.
You can win playoff games.
Or being a unit that you can
win. And last year they made improvement. A lot of it was due to Jamal, because they didn't have to make great blocks. They didn't have to be just, they could make a brush block and he's gone. But, hey, that's not going to change. His speed's not going to go downhill anytime soon. And if they find someone to help at running back, now you've got a nice complement. But there could be some moving around on the offensive line. Let's say they take a left tackle. I could see Albert, of course, moving to right tackle or left guard. It could move Waters to center, which if that's the case, it might extend Brian's career two more years. Brian struggled last year when I watched the tape with pulling not just to the outside, because I think fans sometimes misunderstand or maybe misappreciate or underappreciate inside pulling, guard-to-guard pulling on leads. And the Chiefs ran that a lot. And that's a matter of footwork and explosiveness and quickness to get from left guard to right guard to lead the hole before so I can get the back to lead through that position. And Brian struggled with that the last couple of years, and that's just a sign he's been around a long time. I mean, that's not something that's casting aspersions on B-Dub. But moving to center now, he's an intelligent guy. And if he does move to center, if that's one way they look at it, now all of a sudden you just bump everybody down perhaps and you improve yourself right away because you're putting in guys in spots where they're going to be better suited to have success. On the right side, maybe you look at some free agency. You still try to look at the guys you've got. Maybe you coach them up and try to develop a right side. But I'm with you. If they can find a solid left tackle in this draft, and there are several candidates. Okung's one of them. Davis is another at Rutgers. The Matthews kid, I believe, at Maryland is one. Belaga, the kid at Iowa. You've got some guys that you can, as a young guy, could come in and be a player. And then you put Albert in a role where he can be more successful and beat up, and you can see my point. That's where you start. That's got to be solidified. And then the second area would be athleticism in the middle of your defense. And you always hear the middle in baseball, this catcher, the second baseman, and shortstop and the center fielder. Let's do the same in football. It starts at nose tackle in the 3-4. If you can find – and Ron Edwards had a better year last year than people realize. Yes. It was a good year. Not great, but good. But you'd like to find a Vince Wilfork. You'd like to find a Jamal Williams. Then you have to be more athletic at the two inside backer positions. Yeah. And then your safeties need to be athletic. I'm going to compliment John McGraw and Mike Brown last year because one area that they did a very good job in was they were great in run support. Huge difference in 09 to 08 because the 08 safeties were not very good. And Pollard really struggled with it. When he came up to be in a run gap fit.
He went for kill shots and got beat a lot.
Or missed or thought he was going for kill shots and really kind of wanted to wuss out of the play. And boom, Lindell White goes for 80 yards. Those guys were great last year. When they were in the run fit, some stuff happened, usually positively. Where the team hurt was 8 to 22 yards. There's this big black hole in the middle of the field where yards and points went and the football was going there. So, and it's not just the safety's fault. I would say right in the middle of that 3-4, now you hope other things happen. Tom Bahaly is not, that position he plays is not just a pass rushing position.
Right.
That's not Derek Thomas, okay? You've got to, that guy's got to do more stuff. He's got to be more consistent against the run. But I would say defensively, nose tackle, those two inside backers and the safeties, athleticism at those positions.
And let's talk about the history of Scott Pioli drafting with the New England Patriots. And he does not generally use, they did not, they only really had one high pick, and that was Richard Seymour. Mm-hmm. But the only other first-round draft pick they used on an offensive lineman was Logan Mankins, and that was the last pick of the first round. They used their higher picks on Richard Seymour, on Ty Warren. Vince Wilfork was a first-round draft pick. Jared Mayo was his last first-round pick. A lot of defensive selections, and I think that's probably where it's going to go. Rolando McClain at Alabama is the top middle linebacker. A lot of people like him running sideline to sideline and being able to be that guy in the middle. And if they go that route, I bring that up, if they go defense, and I think defensive line, and I know Chiefs fans may not want to hear it, but they had three first-round picks that started in New England on their defensive line. You know, they understand the value there. Scott Pioli understands winning at the line of scrimmage. And as much as we can talk about the offense, and it does sell tickets, the defense was still the worst unit. The defense continued to lag behind on this team. So if they invest draft picks on defense, don't panic. Not only was the offense better, it showed more signs of progress in the second half when Jamal Charles emerged. So I'll come back over to the defensive side. But if they go defense, round two, they've got two second-round picks. There's quality offensive linemen. Quality tackles are even available. Certainly, the top shelf guards and centers are available at that spot, and they've got a couple of choices there that they can use in that situation. You know, Gerald McNeil from mm-hmm. San Diego, second round pick. Right. Matt Light, New England's left tackle, second round pick. I'm drawing a blank on the kid, Tennessee's left tackle from Washington State, but he was a second round pick. You know, there are a lot of tackles, quality tackles in this league that were second-round picks, and great guards and centers that were second- and third-round picks. So that's a possibility there. Let's move out to the wide receivers.
Well, let me ask you before we move on, because last year when the team subbed, you know, with Romeo Crennel, you got a new defensive coordinator. But when they subbed, their sub packages would have sometimes 7 or 8 subs. It was crazy. I mean, it was a complete hockey change.
It was like a different unit. We have our first and second down over 5 yard unit, and then we have our under 5 yard and third down unit.
Yeah, and mostly the 6 for sure. I mean, 7 or 8 might be an exaggeration, but
I'll get that.
You mentioned, thanks, it's our pizza. You mentioned Jerod Mayo. If you can find a Jerod Mayo, that's the kind of guy I'm exactly talking about. Athletic, not only side to side, but can go forwards to backwards in the 3-4. I know McLean can roam sideline to sideline, but an athlete like that, I think you're onto something. But then if you've got the athletes at your safety positions like that and your inside backers, you don't have to do as much switching when you go nickel and dime.
Right.
You're not have switching out 6 guys. And so I'm interested to see, because those guys you all mentioned that they drafted were pretty good athletes on defense. Eugene Wilson comes to mind. He was a corner at Illinois.
They moved him to safety. Yep.
But he was an athlete.
Yeah, I talked about that on my radio show, on my A-10 show, that, you know, Eugene Wilson was the one, and he was a second rounder, but was one of the few defensive backs they took high, and they took him and moved him over to safety. And because they had such great success in rounds 3, 4, and 5 at finding corners. I mean, they turned and burned the corners. Guys would make a name as a New England Patriot playing corner, go sign for big bucks someplace else, and they'd slot in another 4th
round
pick.
Randall Gay, Ellis Hobbs, all those guys, again and again.
Yeah. You know, they did a great job there. So I wouldn't look for – I think every team, this one included, would like more good cover people. Yeah. But I don't see that going high. I see that in the middle rounds. I think they'll probably take another cover person. You know,
there's not a super glaring need there. Brandon Flowers, to me, is the best player on his team.
He might be. He might be the best player on this team. Brandon Carr, of course, has shown great promise. Had a tough game against the Denver Broncos. Got lit up in that final game against the Broncos, but it showed a lot of promise as a corner. So I think it comes down to, you know, front 7, safety. You know, I know people may say, hey, they used 3.5 of your 4 picks on defense last year, and they did. I mean, the half being, of course, Mike Vrabel coming over with Matt Cassel in that deal for the second-round pick. They used 3.5 of their 4 picks on defense last year, so I'm sure people are excited to help them sell tickets with offensive selections. But I would not be shocked if this team goes defense with its picks this year. You know, I know there have been a lot of defensive picks. You know, I don't want to say bad picks, maybe – you know, mismanaged their picks with the Ryan Sims and the Eddie Freemans and the Junior C of E's, the William Bartes, the Julian Battles, a lot of first, seconds, and thirds that have gone towards defense that is not here. And even in free agency at the linebacker spot with the Sean Barbers and the Kendrell Bells that did not make major impacts. And so the Chiefs still trying to build that defense. Do not be shocked if there's a lot of money or a lot of draft picks, I guess I should say, spent on the defensive side of the ball this year in the draft. All right, when we come back, we continue to break down the foundation of this football team with Mitch Holtis. He's the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You're listening to The Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available.
Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20, he's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the 3 most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, it is the Red Zone here on a Wednesday as we're talking with Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, as he joins us here in the Red Zone and breaking down this football team, where they go, the foundation, the strengths of the football team, and where they need help as well. Of course, we've been talking about. Let's talk about tight ends. I know this is a spot where really Brad Cottom came on late. Wasn't a ton of production, but Scott Pioli's had a history of taking tight ends. He took Ben Watson in the first round, Daniel Graham in the first round. I think he was a first round. If he wasn't a first round, he was a high second.
They made big impacts on those teams.
They did, and they used other picks later on tight ends. Tight ends a spot that they have been willing to go ahead and invest picks in. I don't know that right now they're ready to do that. I think that foundation of the lines is a possibility, but don't be shocked if there's another tight end taken, because they popped on a lot of tight ends. Guys that you wouldn't recognize in later rounds that didn't necessarily play up. But wide receiver. Now, that's one that fans are going to say, you got to get another wide out in there. Dwayne Bowe did not fix the drops this past year. Still a problem in this team. And Todd was able to crack a smile about the drops. He said, we almost set a record. Yeah. He wasn't smiling during the year, but now looking back on it, I said, hey, drops were a real problem. And he talked about
it. And Debo made some progress. The suspension came at the worst time for him,
okay,
because he was really starting to make some progress. If you look and trend him or track him, you'll see that his drops were dropping, and then boom, the suspension hit, and it's like he went back to his old ways. But I still have a lot of hope in him that he can become a very good receiver.
All right, and it's certainly an athlete, and he's part of the equation.
Yep.
The question is, who do you put around him? And wide receivers, one. We'll see who actually ends up out on free agency. One, he's going to be capped or uncapped. Well, it almost definitely looks like it's going to be uncapped. So that's going to cut down the numbers. But the Patriots, again, we look to the Pats as a model. Pioli, let's just call it Pioli, in his previous gig, did a pretty good job of finding wide receivers, from other teams,
right,
and plugging them in. I think the wide receiver position is one. And everyone will immediately go to Anquan Boldin or Steve Breston, who's scheduled to be a free agent but won't be if it's uncapped. They'll immediately go to those big names from Arizona, and maybe that's a possibility with early Doucette coming on for the Cardinals down the stretch. They certainly got a great depth of wide receivers there. But whether it's them or somebody else, they do need to bring in some more weapons out of that wide receiver spot for Matt Cassel.
No question. I think you need to look at a straight-ahead speed guy. You need a guy that can stretch the field. Debo's proven if he's going to be productive, unless it's a jump ball, fade pattern type situation, he's better being underneath. He's powerful. He can break tackles. Debo's big plays will come from, because 2 years ago he led the league in breaking tackles. Yeah, reacts, yards after catch. Chambers made a huge impact on this team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that
he's
a free agent, I understand. And no, he may be gone, but someone like him or him, I mean, he had a big impact here.
Yes,
he liked being in. He liked being here. He liked his time here. And it gave him another chance to get his life going. Now the key is to find a third guy. Because if you can clean out that box, and now you got to keep six or seven in that box because you got to worry about some guy running by you and you don't want to give up 6 points on a 70-yard pass. Now Charles and whoever helps filling in for him, now all of a sudden can hit you for big plays deep. Chambers coming in helped Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles helped Chambers and Bo. When Charles came in, it was about the same time things started to click, he was able to stretch the field. Now all of a sudden you're getting that eighth guy cleaned out of the box, and when you've got the speed of a Jamal Charles, he's going to outrun that eighth guy who's trying to cover the receiver, but he's not sitting in there in the gap waiting for you to get the handoff. So if you find a guy like Chambers, younger Chambers, or Chambers and somebody else, a younger receiver that's a straight-ahead speed guy, now you got something working here. The tight end thing, yeah, and this is a good draft for tight ends. I mean, I'd love to see him get the Gresham kid from Oklahoma. I know he's been injured, but I think he's going to be a terrific NFL player. But that's kind of down the road. If you find that third wide receiver, it could be huge for this offense.
Yeah.
And let's go back to Castle. One thing I liked about Matt, and I've said it before, where I started to believe in Matt Castle was I saw him in late-game situations in Dallas, the Dallas game. Pittsburgh comes to mind. The game where Chambers dropped the ball, either Cleveland or Buffalo, where he should have caught it and
right.
should win the game. Those were situations where Kansas City needed a touchdown. It's not, hey, you could kick a three and tie the game. This is you've got to score 6 points.
You're so, at home.
But I'm sitting in a cover six or seven. I'm sitting there going, I'm back where you've got to drop it in zones like Roethlisberger and Brady and Manning do all the time. This is the difference between a systems quarterback and a quarterback who can make plays. When you're in the last 2 minutes of a game and you need 6 points, you find out who can play quarterback in the league. And I saw enough from Matt when he dropped the ball into zones three times against the Cowboys on one drive and gets down to take the game to overtime. That's where I said, okay, there's something here to work with. And then he did it again, and then he did it again, and then he did it again. So I see some positives there with him. But if you can find a third wide receiver, keep that box cleaned out with seven guys, I'll take my chances with Jamal against seven in the box.
And why I think it's important to get a young wide receiver as well, even if they re-sign Chris Chambers, is you can't just chase what is your biggest need. When you do that, you reach for players, and you've got to constantly have the guy who's ready to step in. If you can have that young third receiver, look at Arizona. They are in the perfect position at wide receiver. But they were good at wideout going into this past year, but they drafted another one in early Doucette. Now they've got that depth, and if it's time to walk away from the amount of cap space Anquan Boldin's going to cost them, the amount of money, and get away from him before his career descends, they can do it and still have Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Breston, and early Doucette. You know, that's why you keep doing it. That's why you've got to hit. That's why you've got to be good. And then you can actually take the best player available, even if you've got depth there, because invariably somebody's getting old or somebody's getting expensive. And that's where it is. Chris Chambers, age will be a factor, as will contract. His money's always part of the equation, and we'll see what the new CBA ends up being whenever it gets done. But Dwayne Bowe, you may be faced with a situation where he never does really progress. There's always a team. He's going to be a young 20-something-year-old free agent at some point. And you're going to have to decide, do we keep trying to make him a guy who can catch the ball? Because there will be a team that says, we'll teach him to catch the ball. Let's spring for it. And he's going to get real expensive on that second contract just off upside. That second contract, they'll still pay you on upside and think, well, let's try our coaches working with him. So you've got to have another guy to slot in there, even if you get Chris Chambers locked into the equation.
Yeah, Bo's a powerful athlete. That's what, I mean,
absolutely.
Let's just be honest.
He's as big as Derek Johnson is.
Yeah.
And their positive body mass is probably the same, and Bo might be a bigger human being.
Unless you're Champ Bailey in a big corner out there, you get some smaller corner or a nickelback, it's going to be hard for them to tackle that guy. So, you know, I'm with you there. But I agree. Yeah, the third guy. Here's the other thing. Steve Breston has meant more to Arizona than people realize. Todd and I have talked about this a lot. His 08 team, the 08 Cardinals, when they got Breston, and we played them in the preseason, and I'd studied him at Michigan and kind of followed him through the draft, but when I knew they had Bolden, I knew they had Fitzgerald, and then I saw him running around going, my God, they've got a third guy. Mm-hmm. So now your third guy is against the weakest link usually mm-hmm. in that secondary. It's your nickel guy many times. Breston will play the slot, and if he's eating somebody up, they're really hard to stop. That was a big part of the 08 Cardinals with Steve Breston. And now the fact that
and it even opens it up for Fitzgerald because teams start going, wait a minute, he's just as good. Just play the guy in the spot he's most comfortable with. And Fitzgerald might not see the number one corner because they go, Breston's just as dangerous as he is. And now Fitzgerald gets worked. Somebody's working against a weaker
or
corner.
Or you're playing your safety in the center of the field because you're going, wait a minute, I can't shade him over to double mm-hmm. on Fitzgerald because Breston could beat my butt. Or you got Bolden. So that's what I'm saying. If you get the third guy developed, let's say a Chambers or someone like him with Debo, and then you get a speed guy that can stretch the field, now you got something rolling. But Scott was able in New England along with Belichick. Those guys, you had Troy Brown, Jabbar Gaffney, they went and got him. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that they kind of plugged in there that became productive guys for them. And then they go get Moss, and it jumps to another level. But they always had three receivers pretty much. Those good New England teams, they would go 3-4 deep where guys
Deion Branch,
and they're going to win playoff games with those guys.
Yeah, they did a fine job. We're talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. All right, the one spot we haven't gotten to, the last spot on the field, well, really special teams, which we'll touch on just briefly because that's in good shape, the running back spot. Jamaal Charles exploded. He emerged. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Todd Haley. They need to get somebody in there to compliment him, not to try to elongate his career, which I think sometimes was maybe the focus of the previous regime, was, you know, a passion for the players they drafted and who were good guys to elongate their career for records and history. But you're not building for 7 years from now. The NFL, you're never more than 2 years away from contending, or you made mistakes and you made it 3 or 4. But the Chiefs this year ought to be fighting for a playoff spot. Clark Hunt told us that down at the Super Bowl. And the next year, you ought to be in the playoffs, if not this year. Mm-hmm. So, but you need somebody to make sure he's fresh. If you're going to get to the playoffs, you want to win in the playoffs. You don't want to wear a guy out to where he's mush and, yay, you made the playoffs because you're 10-6, but there's no life left in the legs of your running back. You want to build a playoff team, but then build a team that can win in the playoffs. And to do that, you're going to need a healthy Jamaal Charles. I don't know how many more touches he had in him if the Chiefs had gotten to the postseason. He had more because he was still firing. He had a huge game against the Denver Broncos. But if he had had to start 8 more games on top of that, would he have still had that kind of life in his legs? You don't know. You got to get another guy in there just to keep him fresh and healthy so that you can have him be one of the features of your offense.
And it's got to be a power guy. I mean, let's be honest. You look at San Diego the last couple of years where they had Tomlinson and Sproles, but they didn't really have the power guy after Michael Turner left. You really need a Michael Turner,
Brandon thick, Jacobs, and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, and the point is, look how as much progress as the Chiefs made last season in the second half of the year on offense, where there was not progress was when you've got the ball inside the 10 or you've got 3rd and 2. And when it's the one thing Larry Johnson could do. I mean, he had so powerful, he could drag and get 2 or 3 yards. But they struggled last year because with a Mike Cox at fullback last year, you're not going to blow people out of there. Their best bet was to put Vrabel in there basically and let him block. But you need a power guy to get you when you've got 2nd and goal at the 1 to blast that baby in there and not have to worry about, you know, tricking him somehow or coming up with some great play. You just go in there and blast him and score. And the Chiefs couldn't do that last year. And Jamal's not really that kind of guy. So it'd be nice to find a combination of speed and power. But you can find that, in my opinion, in the draft. We can sit here all the rest of the day and give you examples of guys that were in middle rounds who can be that kind of player. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a Brandon Jacobs. It'd be nice to find that guy. I mean, here's a Southern Illinois guy. I can't remember what round he was in.
4th.
And he played at Coffeyville Junior College. So, yeah, 4th, 5th round guy where now all of a sudden you've got the perfect complement and the other team has to account for him, and then you can go big. Where last year, after LJ left, there was really no big back in the equation, even no big fullback. So that you'd like to get the combination of speed and power, like a Michael Turner, but somebody like that.
Yeah, Rudy Johnson was a 3rd-round pick. Yeah. Ahmad Bradshaw, I know he's not the big back you're talking about, but he was available in the 7th. I mean, running backs can be found in each and every round.
Yeah, he's the quicker back, but you see the compliment.
But no, but the point is that there are talented running backs available in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and
Priest
Holmes,
yes,
even after
the
draft. So they can be found, and the Chiefs have got to find one somewhere. We're talking to Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs. All right, Mitch, final 4 time. Four,
sure, why not?
All right, first of all, let's start with this. You do or don't make a splash in free agency this year?
Do not.
No? And why?
Too much uncertainty with the landscape. Too much uncertainty, I mean, landscape of who's available and who's there. I think there's going to be a seller's market. And I don't think you dump a bunch of cash into the free agency.
Not knowing what you're going to get.
So, no, I wouldn't do that.
I don't think you're one player away. I think the Randy Moss move was made by Pioli when they were one player away. They're not one player away. I don't see that kind of move being made.
No, we're not sheetrocking here. Let's go back to our construction analogy.
All right, Jamaal Charles, how many yards did he rush for in 10? We'll give you a chance to amend this when we get to camp and see who else is around him. But just take a shot, just kind of fun.
Okay, we're going to say, 1450.
All right, good number there.
Because he's going to share it with somebody.
Yes.
But we'll be one of the biggest big play backs in the league.
Okay. Next, who do you take in the draft?
O'Connor. I'll take the tackle. I'm taking a tackle. Okay. I move Albert to guard or right tackle, and I move Waters to center.
Which, by the way, when we were talking O-line, Brandon Albert gave up one sack as a rookie.
Yep.
They've got to look inside themselves, whether that's the coaching staff, the conditioning, getting everybody down, and wait, they got to look and find out. He was a better player 2 years ago than he was last year, and they got to refine that. Maybe it was injury. That's one of the things we never know. He may have been nursing an injury the whole time, and nobody's aware
of it. But I can show you tape. He did a great job of springing Jamal Charles on blocks, because a lot of times he would get on weak side runs or going to Albert's side, or they'd run that little sprint draw action that they ran to the open side, and that was to Brandon's side too. He was not he had a better year than people think, but
right. Oh, I agree.
He was drafted as a tackle based on what he did as a guard
right.
at Virginia.
And finally, what will the Chiefs' record be in 2010? We do not know the order of the games, but we know who they will play.
They get to play the NFC West. And
three
again,
playoff teams on the schedule for four games, San Diego twice, being
right.
why that number is different. So on paper, it looks like it's a schedule that could be beneficial.
So people know that I'm drinking water here. We've got that. We're not drinking anything else. I'm going to go with 9-7.
I think you're all right with that.
Yeah. I think with the schedule turning in their favor, anytime you look historically, they play the NFC West teams, you're always going to be in that 8-8-ish, 9-7-ish range. What I fear is a lockout in 2011, because let's go back to what I've said since the Denver game. I'm seeing for the first time in a long time, positive inertia. The sun's about ready to come out of the clouds. And then when you shut it down in 2011, if it's shut down for any length of, or period of time, does that retard the progress that you've made? You have to kind of crank the machine up all over again. I don't know. But if they go 9-7 and 10, now the schedule will get a little tougher in 11, but I hope it doesn't shut down in 11.
And I'm here to tell you the other thing to look out for is wild things happen in strike years. And maybe I think this year is a year leading into it. I think more than ever, the labor will be an issue the year leading up. That like it hasn't been in years past, and all you got to do is go back to a guy named Marv Levy who made progress every year. Then they got to a strike year, 2-7. The Chiefs let him go. They didn't think he could get it done. It turns out, well, it's just tough in the strike years. Look at the Cleveland Browns, went to the playoffs under Bill Belichick. Then they had looming over them the fact that they were going to be moving as a franchise. Team bottomed out. They fired Bill Belichick. Situations like this can cause some really weird years, can cause bad teams to look good when they're really not. The Cardinals in strike years have looked good back when they were terrible every year. And it's also caused some teams that are good or solid or building to have a down year, and people panic and make bad decisions. I don't think there'll be a bad decision, but if the record isn't what you think, don't kid yourself. If they don't get some progress going, these guys are going to be having a lot of meetings. These guys being these players are going to be having a lot of meetings talking about their salaries. They're going to be sweating where their money's going to be. Maybe some of their spending habits aren't the best. They start worrying about what their bottom line is and fearing, and they're not thinking football. This could be a very distracted year and either benefit the Kansas City Chiefs or really hurt them with that labor thing out there. And I think that's something that people don't really
think about. And I think it could benefit
them
being a younger team. I think if you have a more veteran team, it could hurt you because there's some uncertainty about the future. But I don't know. I'm just guessing there. What I see is as a key issue here, too, I think it's a critical time for Kansas City, not just the franchise, but the whole region. And it's time to get back to 9-7 because you don't want this aura of players and perception of, like, they're the Lions.
Right.
They're now the Lions. Kansas right. City's now Detroit. And the fact that the Chiefs have not won a playoff game since 93 and only Cincinnati and Detroit have gone longer of teams that aren't expansion teams. And like, they're Detroit. And the external perception of that is growing more in that way. And so I think a 9-7 or an 8-8 is critical to come back and say, wait a minute, they're moving now back to what they were and what they used to be a long time ago. They could be really good. And particularly going into a climate where we're seeing maybe more of a dichotomy in football between large market and small market. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it become baseball, but you don't want Kansas City football, the Chiefs, to have the perception of small market Lions kind of team.
Yeah.
It's a big year.
You're not really good. You're great. We always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, man.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. What's in your playbook for 2010?
Shotgun formation, twins to the right. He takes the snap, fakes right, spins left, and dives for 2010 Chiefs season tickets.
Great seats at great prices are available. Buy now to guarantee you'll experience the Chiefs in the new Arrowhead, opening in 2010 with improved amenities, expanded concourses, HD video boards, the Hall of Honor, and much more. Purchase your 2010 Chiefs season tickets today at kcchiefs.com or call 888-99-CHIEFS.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web to buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. I want to thank our man, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us here in the Red Zone. Also want to remind you, 101 Awards coming up Saturday, March 6th. You can get your tickets. Just pick up the phone and dial 913-681-6990. It's extension 111. It's $165 for tickets. There are only a number of tickets, only a handful of tickets left. It is a great night, as we mentioned. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Charles Woodson, Darrell Revis, Sean Payton, Marvin Lewis, along with the Chiefs Award winners, Jamal Charles, Ryan Succop. Will be a great night if you're a football fan. You will have a great time. Saturday, March 6th, the number 913-681-6990, extension 111 to get your tickets. That's going to do it for us this week here in the Red Zone. We're going to talk with some of those award winners next week. Scheduled to join us, Jamal Charles, Ryan Succop. Going to talk with Dustin Colquitt as well. Should be a jam-packed Red Zone next week. So for Curtis Siebelt and Brad Young, Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.